ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరే నశ్చప్రాయేష భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవతీ ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. ముజ్ఞాద్విరాందస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురోన్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదామైహం దదాతి స్వాపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురౌ శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగురున్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సగణలితా శివిశాఖాన్వితాంశ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధౌ దీనబంధౌ జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగి రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియ. వంచాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీఅద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ. లాస్ట్ స్పీక్ ఆన్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద లీలామృత. యాజ్ ఎవ్రీ ఏకాదశి వి హ్యావ్ ప్రభుపాద లీలామృత ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్లాస్. యాక్చువల్లీ though we say instead of Srimad Bhagavatam class we have Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, there is also Bhagavatam class, there is also Srimad Bhagavatam. We all know that there are two Bhagavatas, one is known as Bhakta Bhagavata, other is Granta Bhagavata. So the distinction between these two Bhagavatas, though they both are absolute, there is a small distinction. What is that? The difference is Bhakta Bhagavata is rasa, rasamalayam. Granta Bhagavata is rasamalayam, is rasa, the nectar of Krishna prema. And Bhakta Bhagavata is the rasa patra. Patra means the eligible candidate who can hold the rasa within the heart. So even though there is Krishna prema, like if there is juice, how can you drink it? We cannot drink it without a vessel or a glass. So even though Krishna Prema is in Srimad Bhagavatam, it can only be drunk through the Bhakta Bhagavata. Without Bhakta Bhagavata, we cannot enter into Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why it is said, Bhagavata Padiya Bhagavata Sthane. One has to read Bhagavatam, study Bhagavatam, hear Bhagavatam from a Bhagavata. As much as we can only drink nectar or any juice from a vessel, because the heart of a pure devotee of a Bhagavata is the place the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam is stored. That is why Bhagavatam has to be heard from the lips of a pure devotee. So this is the distinction. And what is the absolute nature of Granta Bhagavata and Bhakta Bhagavata? The absolute nature is that both cannot be separated from each other. Bhagavatam is full of pastimes of Krishna. Whenever Krishna performs pastimes, he performs pastimes with his devotees. It is not found that Krishna comes alone. He always comes with his devotees. So when we see Krishna, Krishna means along with his paraphernalia. Trying to separate Krishna from his devotees and devotees from Krishna, he's actually it's Mayavad. So Mayavadi is they want to see Krishna alone. But Vaishnava's philosophy says that Krishna is never alone. So Krishna always performs pastimes with his devotees. So when you say Krishna's pastimes, it means the devotee's pastimes also. When you say devotee's pastimes, it is Krishna's pastime also. So in one sense, you find that Prabhupada, Leelamrita and Bhagavatam are absolute, both are same. Because Prabhupada cannot be seen independent of Krishna, and Krishna cannot be seen independent of Prabhupada. So that is the special nature of these two great literatures, that is Prabhupada, Leelamrita and Krishna Katha, that is Grantha Bhagavat. But still, the Acharyas explained that reading the Leelamritas or the biographies or the pastimes of the devotees, that has a very, very special effect. What is the special effect of hearing about the stories of devotees? By hearing the stories of devotees, what happens is, there is no question of any anartha in the context of hearing the stories of devotees, pastimes of devotees. Now when you hear pastimes of Krishna, it can only be relished by a person who is free from all anarthas. So they only can relish it. So there is an aspect of committing offenses there. But here, in the aspect of reading directly the pastimes of devotees, there is no aspect of any committing any offenses. Not only there is no any aspect of committing offenses, but also if at all there are any offenses within the heart, aparads which we do to the holy name or towards the or towards Bhagavatam, the pastimes of Krishna, they all can be nullified by hearing about the pastimes of the devotees. So the devotees, their own lives, their own writings, their stavas, they are so much enriched with their mercy that if somebody reads them, somebody hears about them, what happens is we become qualified to hear about Krishna. So that is why the Bhagavatam says, Shushrushavo Shraddhadhanasya Vasudeva Katha Ruchi Syan Mahatsevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevanath. So very important verse in the first and the second chapter of Bhagavatam, which is actually the beginning verses of a devotion. The beginning of devotion starts with what? Ado Shraddha. So this is explained in this verse as Shushrushavo Shraddhadhanasya. Now this word Shushrusha has a very three-tier meaning for it. Shushrusha means, actually, if you see from the literary point of view, Shushrusha means to hear. But one can hear only when what? One can hear only when somebody is very humble. Without humility, hearing cannot be possible. One hears and also with a humble mood, but if that is not translated into service, so then it is of no use. That is why the word Shushrusha sometimes refers to hearing, sometimes refers to humility, sometimes it refers to service. Now the word Shraddhadhanasya. Now Shraddhadhanasya refers to a devotee who has got 100% faith in Krishna. So everybody has some faith in Krishna, but a pure devotee like Prabhupada has 100% faith in Krishna. So here, hearing about Krishna from a pure devotee, that is also one of the meanings of this. Another meaning is hearing about a pure devotee, serving a pure devotee, humbly approaching a pure devotee. So Shushrusha Shraddhadhanasya refers to all these three things. That is, with great humility approaching a pure devotee, with great humility serving a pure devotee, with great humility one can hear about a pure devotee. So hearing about Srila Prabhupada has a very interesting effect. If somebody hears Prabhupada Leelamrita, which happens once in 15 days here in the temple, so by hearing so, the next 14 days Bhagavatam can be relished. So that is the speciality of this particular day. So that is why our authorities choose Ekadashi for that thing. Actually, Ekadashi day, Ekadashi is known for, it is Madhava Tithi, Bhakati Janani. It is the place, it is the day where bhakti takes birth in the heart of the devotees. Of course, you may say, oh, bhakti has already taken birth. But still, it is the day where bhakti takes birth in the heart of a devotee. And how does it take birth in the heart of a pure devotee? In the heart of a devotee? Only when a pure devotee puts the seed of devotion. And who puts the seed of devotion? It is the spiritual master. So that is why, the reason of why we read Prabhupada Leelamrita on the day of Ekadashi is this. Because Ekadashi is Madhava Tithi. Madhava Tithi is known as Bhakti Janani. It is the birthplace of devotion. And who gives birth to devotion in our heart? It is the spiritual master, the pure devotees, the acharyas. So hearing about the acharyas, the spiritual master Srila Prabhupada, on the day of Ekadashi, actually it gives a seed by which we can nourish it, and ultimately for the next 15 days at least we can relish Srimad Bhagavatam. So if somebody doesn't hear Prabhupada Leelamrita read about the stories of the acharyas, pastimes of the acharyas, then it is very difficult to relish Bhagavatam. So that is why it has got a very special significance in our movement. Many temples practice this process of reading Prabhupada Leelamrita on the day of Ekadashi. Now, here I was asked to speak on this chapter, Stay High Forever. It's a very interesting chapter. Most of you must have read Prabhupada Leelamrita. I still have this experience that when I was working in a ship, there, it was a very horrible situation there. And I was working in a ship, and it was the first contract. The ship had come to Bombay after a couple of months. I had come to this same place. The stall was here. The bookstall was here. I had purchased Prabhupada Leelamrita at that time from here. And that was the only thing which was a solace for me. And when I was reading Prabhupada Leelamrita, at the same time I had Bhagavatam set too. Once after reading Prabhupada Leelamrita, open the Bhagavatam set and then try to read a couple of verses of Bhagavatam, then I felt, no, I should go back to Leelamrita again. So it has got a tremendous effect that once you start reading Prabhupada Leelamrita, you just cannot stop reading it, and you cannot just stop bringing out actually your emotions. It is so touching that anybody who reads Prabhupada Leelamrita would definitely stay in devotional service in this movement throughout their life. Bhagavatam, you can get everywhere. Many people talk about Bhagavatam. But Prabhupada Leelamrita, you will get only here. So it's a very, very special book and has to be read thoroughly by all devotees. I was recently asking one initiated devotee for 15 years. Then I asked him, what is there day after tomorrow? So then he told, Prabhuji, it is Gandhi Jayanti. It is October 2nd. Then I asked him, what is the birthday of Prabhupada? He was not knowing. So very sad state of affairs, isn't it? So he don't know the basic information about our acharya. Then he told, Prabhuji, it is after Janmashtami, and ask him about the date. Of course, that is not very much significance, the Christian calendar, but still, we don't know it. Everybody knows Gandhi Jayanti, but Prabhupada's, don't know. So there is so much to know. So much to know about it, that we need to work hard, not only in trying to know it, in trying to make people known about who is Srila Prabhupada. Just because he was just within the past 50 years, many people don't much value him. But there will be a time in future, about few hundred years after, you will find everywhere in the world, people will be celebrating Prabhupada's appearance day, disappearance day. Everywhere, people would quote, like you have something like quotable quotes by different people, isn't it? You go to any place, in the schools, they write on the board, like quotable quote. This is what it is. This person told. Mandela told this. That person told this. This person told this. But we want to foresee the day where in every school, in every college, in every place, they would quote Prabhupada. Prabhupada said so. That time will come. It's just a question of time. That's all. But we need to work hard for that. And that starts. Charity begins at home. So we need to know. Then only we can tell that this is what you're supposed to quote. Isn't it? So let us go to this chapter, that is Stay High Forever. Now, it is October 1966. You know very well, Srila Prabhupada had just established an organization. ISKCON was registered. And after the registration of ISKCON, then he thought, now I should do something. Srila Prabhupada, when he first entered New York, he was staying in Agrawal's house. He was just thinking how to get at least a few of the followers. He tried his best there. There was mostly a community of householders, and middle class and lower middle class people were there. People used to respect him. Everything was going on. But he thought everybody were interested in their own family life. They would respect him, but would not take up a complete service to this movement. So in spite of quite a comfortable situation in Agarwal's house in the nearby place, he intentionally went out. And then ultimately we know he came to this Second Avenue, that is Rory. So there Srila Prabhupada was having a community of people who were almost hippies. Now he came from a better society to a lower kind of society, which even the American people who are like averagely sane, you can say, who are a little bit cultured, average American, would not even go to such place. Prabhupada selected that place. Because he was thinking, any of these people are roaming on the street. So, they had no other option. If I give option, they will come to me. This was the intention. Prabhupada came and he became successful there. So, he intentionally chose to be within the hippies so that he knew very well they are free in their life and they would come and assist him. He had few followers, and at the time he had already completed the first initiation, or the first set of initiation was done of his disciples, and now he was having a special vigor. That was in October 1966. The special vigor was, which Prabhupada had, was he knew, I am free to preach in America. Because to get an organization registered in America is not a joke. It's very difficult. You all know how to get a visa, a government stamp of American visa. It's so difficult. It's not an easy thing, because they don't accept any bribes and like that, and then give a stamp and then take it. No. They would examine everything and see the purposes, then only register a society. So Prabhupada almost got it very, very fast, and he was so happy with it, that now my organization legally has been established. So just see how Prabhupada was so happy in getting some papers getting legalized. Especially it is very important to think about it, sitting in Prabhupada's office in Juhu, that whenever some legal documents were made, Prabhupada would beam a smile on his face. It is very interesting to note, not only just when the books were distributed he was happy, not only when devotees were made, he was happy. Even when some legal papers were made, he was very happy. And especially his disciples could see, Prabhupada had some special vigor in him. And he was actually acting as if he was a young boy. That is why it is described here in Prabhupada Lilamrita. Prabhupada's health was good, that summer and fall. And so it seemed, he worked long and hard. Now Prabhupada's vigor increased to such an extent, he used to just sleep only for 4 hours, never tiring. And his voice was very powerful. And especially his singing, his kirtans were very, very melodious. And not only that, he used to go on for hours and hours of singing and chanting. And now, Srila Satsarupa Goswami Maharaj, he says that he ate healthily, heartily, of rice, dal, chapatis and vegetables with ghee. His face was full and his belly protuberant. Sometimes in a light mood, he would drum with two fingers on his belly and say,
That resonance affirmed good health. His golden color had radiance of youth and well-being, pervaded, preserved by 70 years of healthy, non-destructive habits. You know, many of the hippies there, they are looking actually much older than Prabhupada. They were about 18, 20 years old. Prabhupada at that time was 71, and we can see that how, by the description, Prabhupada was looking more younger than these 20-year-old boys there in New York. So in this way, Prabhupada's health was so wonderful at the time, and Swamiji wasn't an ordinary man, he was spiritual. Everybody was completely amazed seeing the agility of Prabhupada. Prabhupada was so agile, even when he used to walk, his young disciples had to run. Prabhupada was walking was equal to their running. Just imagine, 71-year-old man, he is walking and others had to run to catch him up. That is the speciality of Prabhupada's thing. It is said that anybody who had conquered their senses very 100%, they walk very fast. By walk you can say just how advanced in Krishna consciousness a person is. It's very interesting to note that Krishna, Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, he asks, Sita prajnyasya ka bhasha, sita de kim prabhasheta. Kimasita vrajeta kim. Vrajeta kim means how does he walk? Of course, that has got a philosophical meaning that is different. But even just by a person, how he walks, how he sits, that can be a measure of one's advancement in Krishna consciousness. Now, during 2 months at Second Avenue, he had achieved what had formerly been only a dream. Just 2 months had passed. And whenever success comes, that gives naturally some kind of enthusiasm. Of course, it is said in the Bhagavad Gita that labha, labho, jaya, jayo. Even though when you have profit or loss, when you are success or failure, in both situations you have to be equal. But Prabhupada has transcended even that instruction, that situation. He tasted success. When he tasted success, immediately his vigor increased. Actually, it should be understood, tasting some success in preaching Krishna consciousness and then getting enthused by it is not contrary to devotional service. Actually, it is the movement. That is why we need to taste success and we need to make other devotees take success in preaching Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, the preaching movement will not catch fire. That is why tasting success is very important. Somehow, even little bit success, no problem. So one should not be depressed by the failures in preaching attempt, but see what success is there and then taste that success and then go further. Like here, Srila Prabhupada, he is very happy because he achieved success within 2 months what he was thinking of. And then he thinks about when a god brother had written asking how he could manage a temple in New York, Prabhupada had said that he need men from India. So Prabhupada actually wrote a letter saying that I need men from India. Yes, definitely I'll establish a temple in New York. But now Prabhupada saw he did not require any men from India, no help from his god brothers, no money from India. He himself had got disciples now. He himself was becoming successful by people and money from their own. So they said, no assistance from the Indian government, but he was finding success in a different way. These were happy days, Prabhupada says. Here it is mentioned, Prabhupada said, these were happy days. He had struggled alone for a year, but then Prabhupada said, Krishna sent me men and money. So when somebody tastes success in Krishna consciousness, his enthusiasm increases because he feels that Krishna is now reciprocating with me. So with this feeling, Prabhupada says, yes, Krishna has sent me now money and men and money. So this is the source of encouragement. It is not the tasting success and getting encouragement is not a material platform for a devotee. For a devotee, tasting success and getting encouraged to preach more Krishna consciousness is that he completely understands that Krishna is now reciprocating with him. So in that sense, even though success has encouraged him, that is not born out of mode of passion. Like on the material platform, what happens when somebody becomes successful in his business? He becomes very encouraged and enthusiastic. He wants to do more business, do you want to do more? But that is all in what? That is all driven by the mode of passion. But here, a devotee tasting success and getting encouraged is not at all based on mode of passion. It is totally transcendental because he has a perfect understanding that now Krishna is reciprocating with him. So now Srila Prabhupada says, yes, these days were happy days for Prabhupada. But his happiness was not like the happiness of the old man's sunset years. Prabhupada, as he was tasting more and more success, he seemed to become more and more young. Then there's a big comparison about how Srila Prabhupada was becoming more and more young as much as he was tasting success. And one day, Prabhupada's preaching movement accelerated. He was pushing his preaching activities more than ever. And all of a sudden, earlier in the storefront, he would just call his disciple, he would just give classes and do kirtan there. But he became more eager. No, I have to do something more. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada has been described like one who enters like a needle and comes out like a plow. That is to say, from a small, seemingly insignificant beginning, he would expand his movement to tremendous proportions. At least, that was his desire. He was not content with newfound success. Actually, when success comes, instead of becoming happy with and content with the success, a genuine devotee would long for more success. So that is the spirit of reaching Krishna consciousness. He was not content with the success and security in Second Avenue, but was yearning to increase ISKCON as far as possible. This had always been his vision, and he had written it into ISKCON charter, in the legal document he had written, to achieve real unity and peace in the world, within the members and humanity at large. Now, one day, Swamiji, Prabhupada gathered a group. They all came as usual to the storefront. They thought Swamiji will do some kirtan and give a class. Told, no, today no kirtan here, no class here. Let us go. Let us go where? All were like surprised. What is this Swamiji doing? Something new. Told, we'll go to the Washington Square Park, which is only a half a mile away from here. It's a very famous park. So there, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu says that he never made a secret of what he was doing. Srila Prabhupada was was a very good manager. Even though he had a few disciples who are not even matured in Krishna consciousness, who are just coming, most of them were not even properly following the vows of Krishna consciousness at the time, Prabhupada had a meeting with them. So he was discussing what to do, how to preach Krishna consciousness. I want everybody to know what we are doing. Srila Prabhupada, just see, he is such an expert manager that it is not that, okay, one day all of a sudden somebody comes, some leader comes and says, let us all go there. No. Proper communication is maintaining. Just see, I want everybody to know what we are doing. Prabhupada's own words. Then one day, D-Day came. We are all going to chant in Washington Square Park. Then as soon as they heard, they were scared. And Prabhupada was looking like a young boy who was bubbling with so much of enthusiasm. He told, don't be afraid. You won't be afraid. Krishna will help us. Because going in the American street, especially that Washington Square Park, is a huge park, as goes by the description here, where all kinds of people from different parts of America, all different states, they would come and spend their holiday there. And it is not that the park is only restricted to a small area. It's a huge area where all kinds of people would come, and there's a lot of security there, and a lot of rules and regulations need to be followed, and people were really apprehensive about what people will think about us. And Srila Prabhupada said, you won't be afraid when you start chanting. So now you are afraid. When you start chanting, you will not be afraid. Let us go. Don't worry. And so we trucked down to the Washington Square Park. But we were very upset about it. Actually, many of the devotees were, along with Prabhupada at that time, very upset. But still, Prabhupada is telling, let us go, what to do. There is no other alternative for them. They are all went along with Prabhupada. With Prabhupada leading, they set out on a fair Sunday morning. That too, Prabhupada chose Sunday morning. Walking the city blocks from the Second Avenue to Washington Square in the heart of Greenwich Village. And the way he looked, just by walking, he created a sensation. So there is a description that how when Prabhupada was walking in the front and all his followers, at that time they were not shaved, they were not wearing this dhoti kurta and all. They were just walking in their usual American dress. And Prabhupada was the only one who was wearing the saffron and he was walking ahead. And that created sensation. Actually, Prabhupada wanted in his preaching, one of the important aspects of his preaching was he wanted to always create sensation amongst the public. So once somebody asked Prabhupada and all his disciples were walking, one newspaper person came. So why are you wearing these strange dresses? One of the reporters asked Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada told, just to get the attention of people. He did not say that this is Indian culture and all these things. They say we want to get the attention of people. So Prabhupada liked actually when he would go along with his disciples on the road, people would look at him, he'll say, yes, we are. Actually, the pride which Prabhupada had of being a devotee of Krishna, something which can be compared to the pride of Hanuman. it's impossible, it cannot be understood. Actually, sadhu means, you know, we find it's very humble and that and this. It's not so. You can see how Prabhupada walks, his head high, high onto the sky, looking, I don't care about anybody else. That was the feeling which Prabhupada had in his walking. So, none of the boys had shaved heads and robes, but because of Swamiji, with the saffron robes, his white pointy shoes and his shaved head held high, people were astonished. It wasn't like when you would go alone. Prabhupada would also go alone sometimes on the road, but people would just look and then forget about it. But now, Prabhupada is walking along with his now Western disciples. Now everybody was completely amazed and they were looking at the scene. They brought nothing more than an occasional second glance when Prabhupada was walking alone. But here, Prabhupada walking along with American disciples, everybody's attention was caught. Now, when he went there to the park, there's a description of how the park is, how people were there. There are a few young boys and girls in their own world, somebody playing guitar, and all kinds of people, all kinds of colors and races, they're all gathered there. It was a typical day watching everything, wandering around. It was a typical day in the village. Prabhupada went to a patch of lawn. Just see. There's a patch of lawn, nice beautiful lawn, and Prabhupada went there and told all the disciples, come here, we'll sit. And there, Prabhupada could clearly see, there was a board which was written, keep off the lawn. And Prabhupada sat next to it on the lawn itself. And he was doing kirtan. And all were hengras and kirtan. Once they were hengras and kirtan, then what happened? Everybody came. And in America, actually what happens is, everybody is in their own world. Nobody bothers what happens. Actually, people think that I want to get the attention of people. So they do all kinds of crazy things, strange things to get the attention of people. And actually hardly in cities, in places, nobody bothers. If you go to a village, even if you bring a small bandarwala, now also people get attention. No? People throng and see what's happening. But even if you do anything in Bombay, even if you have a Mercedes or the biggest car, do anything, can wear anything, who cares? Who has time? Nobody bothers. So America was like that. Nobody would bother for anything. Whoever does anything, nobody would bother. Even if somebody would die in the next department, they would not bother about it. That is his condition. That was the situation. But now here, Prabhupada is chanting and all the disciples are there. Everyone gathered there. Everyone first were having an awkward look, but they would gathered around and looking, what's happening here? Then gradually, Jagannath, one of the disciples of Prabhupada, says that Swamiji brought upon me. It was a great change which Swamiji brought upon me. He says that it was very difficult for me to reveal that I am Krishna conscious. I was really ashamed to chant on the street. But on this day, I overcome a certain shyness, first time, to chant out in the middle of everything. A curious crowd gathered to watch. And when all the crowd gathered to watch and the kirtan was going on, in the middle, the policeman came and told, "Who is in charge here? Who is in charge?" And all the disciples were afraid. All of them indicated to Prabhupada. And the policeman came and told Prabhupada, "You did not see the sign there?" And Swamiji looked like this, frowned, and he got up, went to other side, on a cemented patch, he sat down, just nearby only. He was not afraid. So when devotees also go and do something like that, it is not that we are doing something new. Prabhupada has already done that. It is not a new thing for all of us. When you do for kirtan, police all come, "Hey, zamat karo," and we go somewhere else and sit. They are more agitated. But what to do? It's not a new thing. He got up, walked to the comfortably warm pavement, sat down again, and his followers strangled after it sat down, and Prabhupada continued chanting. A guru in America had never gone into the streets before and sung the names of God. That is amazement. Actually, even before Prabhupada, many gurus from India had gone there to do so many preaching. But none of them went on the street and did this chanting. So once Srila Prabhupada was asked, "Whom does this movement belong to?" Then Prabhupada told, "This movement is for the man on the street. For the man on the street." That is a speciality of Srila Prabhupada's movement. He brought the highest thing in transcendence to the man on the street. That is a speciality. Means it is meant for anybody and everybody. Doors are open, anybody wants to come, they can come. So that is the speciality of this movement. After kirtan, he asked for a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now kirtan is going on, and he asked for a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he told Hayagriva to read it aloud. And he reads a paragraph from Srimad Bhagavatam of Prabhupada, where it is described that how everything emanates from Krishna. In the first canto, first words of Bhagavatam, the crowd was still hearing to the entire lecture. Just see, Prabhupada was so tactful. He made Pradyumna, one of his disciples, an American, to open the Bhagavatam and read. Actually, he thought, if I speak, people would think, okay, the Swamiji will speak. But he was so tactful in making Pradyumna read, that caught the attention of all. Oh, he's an American. He's reading something wonderful. Let us hear. They had broken the American silence. And what a nice word. So by this, Srila Prabhupada, he showed to the entire America that I came and broke the American silence. Allen Ginsberg now goes to the next point. He was living nearby the east of the 10th Street. Now, at that time, Prabhupada had told his disciples to make some handouts. So the first handout was like this. The first handout ever printed in ISKCON goes like this. Practice the transcendental sound vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This chanting will cleanse the dust of the mirror of the mind. International Society for Krishna Consciousness, meeting at 7 a.m. daily, Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays at 7 p.m. You are cordially invited and bring your friends. And the first handout, first flyer, which was produced by ISKCON. And Srila Prabhupada made sure there is the word International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And then Swamiji asked the boys, "You go and distribute these handouts around the neighborhood." Now, this handout, when they were distributing, this handout came into the hands of Allen Ginsberg. Now, a short description about Allen Ginsberg. At that time, he was practically of the drug guru of America. He had a very strange philosophy, which he says that he brought it from India. The philosophy is that for spiritual upliftment, you have to take drugs. So that is his philosophy. And it doesn't matter about your sense control. You can have free sex, free intoxication, do anything, but be peaceful. So he had become a guru of peace in America through drugs. Means peace through drugs. That was his philosophy. And somehow he had been to America before. He had been to India before. Allen Ginsberg had come in contact with this chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And he had met some so-called sadhus, and they told him that by taking drugs you can advance spiritually. So Allen Ginsberg was actually was knowing this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. At the same time, he had a very strange philosophy. Now, Allen Ginsberg, he got this handout and saw the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He was a very big personality at that time, very rich, very popular. But somehow, when he saw the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, he had curiosity, find out what's happening, let us go. Because he knew the mantra. And he, along with his friend, they came to the storefront. And when he came to the storefront, they saw a few devotees were there. And Allen Ginsberg remembers and he says, Bhaktivedanta seemed to have no friends in America. He was alone, totally alone, and gone somewhat like a lone hippie in the nearest refugee, the place where it was cheap enough to rent. Allen Ginsberg told that was the situation of Prabhupada. There were a few people sitting cross-legged on the floor. First time when he went, he's describing. I think most of them were Lower East Side hippies who had just wandered in off the streets and with beard and a curiosity and inquisitiveness in respect to a spiritual perception of some kind. So all these people were there, they were actually not well off. They were just on the road, some curiosity, they just walked in. He talks about how they were refugees from the middle class in the Lower East Side, looking exactly like the street sadhus in India. It was very similar, the phase in American underground history. And I liked immediately the idea that Bhaktivedanta Swami had chosen Lower East Side of New York for his practice. And Ginsberg says, I like the idea that Prabhupada So Prabhupada liked, Allen Ginsberg liked the idea that Prabhupada chose this part of the country to be his place where he could preach. And then the conversation goes on between Allen Ginsberg and Srila Prabhupada, and where after some time Allen Ginsberg gives one harmonium as a gift. And later on again Allen Ginsberg came and he was completely captivated by the tune in which Prabhupada was singing the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Allen Ginsberg was thinking that this is the only tune which he had known before, that was the only tune. And gradually one day he went to Prabhupada's room and Allen Ginsberg started playing on the harmonium because he was a musician. He was playing on the harmonium a tune and Prabhupada liked it and appreciated it. Allen Ginsberg, then devotees came and told Allen Ginsberg that Srila Prabhupada is having some difficulty with the visa. Every 2 months he had to extend the visa, and last time when he went for the extension of the visa, they were telling that this is the last time we would give. Next time will be very difficult for you. So the Allen Ginsberg told, don't worry, I will sponsor the whatever the money is required. So the first biggest donation which ISKCON ever received was from Allen Ginsberg, $200 of check. Of course, he had his own views, but somehow he liked Prabhupada. Anybody does any service to this movement, somehow or the other, you should understand, they will one day or the other get Krishna consciousness and Krishna prema. So this is how Srila Prabhupada dealt with the hippies. And now later on this chapter goes further that how he prints another handout. I would like to talk about this handout because this handout contains the caption of this chapter, that is, stay high forever. Because many hippies used to come and they used to ask Prabhupada that, have you taken LSD? Prabhupada would say no. And somebody asked, if you had not taken LSD, how can you say it is bad for spiritual life? Then Prabhupada said, my disciples have tasted, they will tell about it. So then a disciple would speak out, saying that, Umapati would say, you see, by taking the LSD, you go very high, but you fall down. But by taking Krishna consciousness, you stay high and never come down. So then based on that, they made a handbill. They produced a handbill. The conversation inspired Hayagriva and Umavati to produce a new handbill, the second handbill which was produced in ISKCON. So stay high forever, no more coming down. Practice Krishna consciousness, expand your consciousness by practicing the transcendental sound vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The leaflet went on to extol Krishna consciousness over high and end of it includes phrases like, later on some modification were done, saying that end of all bring downs. These are the famous quotes by the hippies. End of all the turn-ons. those who are in intoxication, they are very used to this thing. End of all hangovers. Employing artificially induced method of self-realization, expand your consciousness. Someone objected to the flyer, saying it's too much against the hippies. Don't. And Prabhupada said it was all right. So this is how Prabhupada showed his youth at the age of 71. The youth in Krishna consciousness. So you should share the same enthusiasm which Prabhupada had by tasting this success and grow more in enthusiasm by preaching Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.